Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on the Sports Talk 97.7. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Joined in studio, week number two, my co-host, Beck Haynes. How you doing tonight, Beck?
Ben, doing great. I appreciate you. And as the future face of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. First things first, Beck. Saturday afternoon, Williams-Brice Stadium, Columbia, South Carolina. Tech controls the ball game throughout before losing 17-16 in what I would explain, or the way I took it, is one of the most heartbreaking losses since I've been covering, following, been a fan of Louisiana Tech. I've been a diehard Louisiana Tech fan since I can remember. Since I could walk, I've been coming to Joe Ice Stadiums every Saturday in Joe Ice Stadium every Saturday in the fall. But this one just hurt a little bit more. If you take a look back to when I became a Louisiana Tech student, 2009, you have Tech loses to the boys from Baton Rouge 24-16, a game that was probably looked a little closer with the score than it really was. You look at Tech losing to Mississippi State in overtime in 2011, losing to Houston 35-34 in 2011 after holding a 34-7 lead, losing to TCU in 2011 in the Poinsettia Bowl. Then you look to 2012, the Johnny Manziel game, and we'll never forget it. One of the greatest college football games perhaps ever. Louisiana Tech loses 59-57.
I'm still not over that one, by the way.
Me neither. One of the best games I've ever seen, nonetheless. Utah State, 2012. Orange Bowl officials in Ruston. Dogs fall 48-41 in overtime. Kansas in 2013. Freshman quarterback Ryan Higgins plays the best game of, you know, his freshman year, without a doubt. Dogs lose on a 50-yard field goal. 2014, Skip Holtz has really turned around the program. Cody Sokol has one heck of a season. Dogs lose in the Conference USA Championship to Marshall. 2015, Jeff Driscoll's in town. He's transferred in from Ruston. Plays a great game. Dogs lose 39-33, triple overtime to Kansas State. Arkansas a year ago, 21-20 in Jamar's first career start. And then to wrap up the 2016 season, Dogs lose to Western Kentucky 58-44 in the Conference USA Championship after beating them in the regular season. Are you kidding me? That's just 8 years of losing in the final seconds of whatever it may be. Tech just hasn't been able to pull out the close game. South Carolina, Saturday afternoon. The Dogs are in complete control for 3.5 quarters. End up blowing a 13-0 lead. Lose 17-16. Heck, we've all seen it. Most of the time, we can see it coming from a mile away. But it's Tuesday, and I'm still not over it. This loss hurts. This loss is one that you can't say there's a moral victory. Skip Holtz said it today in his press conference. There's no more moral victories for the Louisiana Tech program. It's time to get over the hump, win those close games. There's no moral victories in the eyes of Louisiana Tech fans. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been some big wins in the program. You look at 2011. Tech goes on the road, just dismantles Ole Miss. They make the comeback in 2011 to win the WAC championship against Nevada. They beat Illinois and Virginia pretty handily in two consecutive weeks in 2012. They hammer Illinois in the Dallas Bowl in 2014. And then last year, they squeak out the bowl victory over Navy, 48-45. But like I said earlier, This is a young football team. 10 seniors in the top 52 on the depth chart. But it's Tuesday. I'm still hurting. But I can promise you one thing. Come Saturday night, I'll be back inside the Joe watching the Dogs take on South Alabama, and every ounce of me will believe that the Dogs are headed for a 10-win season. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Ben. And I catch myself saying that I would rather have been have lost that game 40-25, or, you know, kind of more of a blowout, but which is crazy, which is what fandom does to you. And this is why I'm not a devout fan in the NFL or MLB, because it hurts. Like, you know, I'm watching the game and we go up, but there's 50 seconds left. You kind of have it in the back of your mind. They got no timeouts, right? They didn't have any timeouts.
Nope.
And then these unreal plays like unfold before your eyes, and
just
you can't
fluky plays,
and you just start to feel it. Like, you get that all familiar feeling, and we felt it last year in Arkansas with just controlling the game the whole time and then just letting it slip through their fingers. And, you know, I was listening to the post game show, and they were talking about how this was not, you know, Tech didn't, or South Carolina didn't, like, win that game. You know, Tech gave it to him. And so that's just – it's tough. It's a tough way to lose. Like you said, it's Tuesday. It still hurts. I mean, that was one that we could have looked back on this season, and that could have been a big moment.
It could have been a turning point. It could have been a turning point not only for the season but for the program. I think when you look at all the success that Tech's had over the previous 3 years, you obviously have to build a base. You have to build up your program before you can take that next step. For me, coming into that game, we talked about it last week. South Carolina's not that good offensively. Their defense had been mediocre throughout the season to that point. Tech had a golden opportunity. Tech controlled the game through 3.5 quarters, like we said. And it slips through their fingers once again. I'm still hurting. You know, coming up in the next segment, we'll recap the whole game. We'll give our thoughts on individual players. We'll talk about things that we saw from that team. Tech played a great game, but quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to say, because I'm still hurting, if you can't tell. I've never played football since I was in seventh grade when I was hurling a deep ball, but this one hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, it does for sure. And, you know, like you talked about all those games that Tech has lost in the final seconds, and I'm not to be doomsday-ish, but we do remember the bad ones, you know, more than we remember the good ones. And it was anytime you get a chance to make a statement against an SEC school, beginning in Conference USA, and just, you know, Tech wanting the respect that it deserves and wanting to be able to put some SEC wins under our belt, it's that one. I don't know if that was what made it so. I mean, you know, conference games are more important, you know, and those are the ones that we really need to win, but this one was just tough.
And you talk about those ones that, you know, we end up Tech ends up losing in the final seconds. Those hurt. They hurt. But when Tech does pull off those big victories, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, it makes them feel so much better. You know, the gut punches are what, in my opinion, increase your fandom.
Right, and I was, you know, and we had that 2 weeks ago against Western Kentucky. We got one of those wins.
That was a big win.
Right, and I was getting ready to name my future son Jonathan Barnes Haynes. And he kicked that field goal, and he did a great job. But I thought he was going to have two game winners in a row. That was going to be huge for the program. And then with 50 seconds left, the unthinkable happens.
Yeah, and I looked at my wife after Barnes hits the field goal with 55 seconds remaining, and I said, I believe I said on Bleed Tech Blue Radio Tuesday night, Dogs 23, South Carolina 20, Barnes on a walk-off winner. It wasn't 23-20, but Barnes had the game-winning kick in his hands. We'll get into the final drive. It was a couple of mistakes by the defense. Coach Holtz pointed out in his press conference today. We'll get into all that in the next segment. I was really impressed with how Jamar Smith played Saturday. He obviously made the one bad interception late in the third quarter, going in. Tech could have went up three scores if they make that ball game just 16-0. I think they might end up shutting South Carolina out, but it wasn't meant to be.
What hurt about that play is that it wasn't even close, and it was one that Jamar should have sailed into the sideline of the stands. And so when you see that happen, you just grit your teeth and you just hope that the defense can hold it. And I think defense played a great game. I'm not knocking them. There was a couple of mistakes, like you said, late. But some of those plays were just, you can't really do much, you know. And so I don't know, that Jamar interception, that was tough. That was that the game turned, I think, honestly, at that point.
Enough for South Carolina right now. My blood's boiling, my heart's beating, but let's take a quick look around Conference USA, how they fared in week four. North Texas, UAB this past weekend, one heck of a ball game. North Texas was in complete control at the half. UAB makes a valiant comeback. North Texas survives 46-43. Florida International against Rice, and perhaps the matchup of the two worst teams in the conference. UTEP, don't get upset that I didn't include you. Florida International survives 13-7. Middle Tennessee gets back on the right track with a 24-13 victory over the Max Bowling Green. Western Kentucky struggles again. They were struggling late into the fourth quarter of a game against Ball State, but they did survive 33-21. Conference USA beaten up on the MAC. UTSA, complete domination of Texas State, 44-14. I'll get to UTSA in a second. Virginia Tech throttles Old Dominion. It's pretty clear I don't think Old Dominion's a contender in the East. I don't think they have the offense to compete with the likes of Marshall, with the likes of Florida Atlantic. I know we had Austin Brown on last week from Mid-Major Madness, SB Nation. He really liked that Florida Atlantic ball club, and I was impressed. They're getting better. They lost to Buffalo last week against the MAC 34-31. That was a road game in New York. New Mexico State throttles UTEP 41-14 in a matchup of two programs that just need to shut it down. And as we mentioned, Tech falls to South Carolina 17-16. Conference USA play really gets ramped up a little bit this week. Charlotte goes to FIU, Middle Tennessee goes to Florida Atlantic, and North Texas goes to Southern Miss. But one thing I want to shift to is to UTSA. The Roadrunners, under second-year head coach Frank Wilson. Wilson's doing an outstanding job. They have a great quarterback in Dalton Sturm. Sturm's playing really well over the first three games of the season, completing 76% of his passes. He's a threat on the ground, averaging 6 yards a carry. He hasn't thrown an interception. It's clear the Roadrunners are good. But I saw a tweet on Sunday from Kirk Herbstreit saying that the Roadrunners have to be the favorite in Conference USA. And I have a little something to say about it. UTSA has beat a bad Baylor team. A Baylor team that lost to Liberty. Yeah, I'll give it to them. They competed with Oklahoma. UTSA beat Southern out of the SWAC. And UTSA beat Texas State, who just, frankly, isn't very good. So let's pump the brakes on UTSA being the favorite in the whole conference before they knock Louisiana Tech off their pedestal in the Western Division. I'm not a believer in the Roadrunners. Do I expect the final matchup in November in Ruston to be for the conference championship? Absolutely. But until that date, until I see UTSA knock the dogs off, Louisiana Tech is the favorite in the Western Division.
I completely agree with that, and that's, you know, mainly based on just my lack of knowledge of UTSA, but I believe you.
Well, that's good to hear. Coming up later in the show at 6:30, we'll talk to the voice of the South Alabama Jaguars, Louisiana Tech's opponent this week, J.D. Byers. A lot happening at South Alabama this week. They fell to Idaho at home in double overtime, and out goes the offensive coordinator. So it'll be interesting to catch up with J.D. At 7 o'clock, we'll talk to the Hall of Famer, the voice of the Bulldogs, Dave Nitz. He's a Tech legend. The Tech home radio booth is named after Dave. I know he's excited to come on. I'm excited to talk to him. Haven't got to talk to Dave in a few years. So it'll be fun to talk with Dave at 7 o'clock. We'll also recap South Carolina in the next segment. We'll preview South Alabama at 6:45. We'll be right back after this timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome in. Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech falls to South Carolina 17-16 Saturday afternoon in Columbia. And what I mentioned in the first segment was it was tough to watch. Not a whole lot I can say about that football game, except Tech deserved a win. No moral victories from me, but let's get right into it. Beck, your thoughts on how the game really started off from Tech's perspective?
It moved quick, and it was one of those things. I looked, sometime in the second, close to halftime, and thinking, man, we've shut them out, and we have a chance to do something here, and to really, it was slow moving. There wasn't a ton of offense on either side, but for Tech, there was there when it counted, and then going into halftime, I was feeling good, but also in the back of my mind, knowing what can happen, and so. From that perspective, it wasn't, playing from behind all day. And I was encouraged going into the halftime that we had at least put some points up and held them on defense. So.
Yeah, it definitely was a quick first half. You look back at South Carolina, they had struggled to really run the ball early on in the season. Granted, they'd played some tough opponents in North Carolina State, Kentucky, Missouri, blah, blah, blah. But they looked to really come out. Established the run game early. They got a nice drive together. They were really feeding Tyson Williams, transfer from North Carolina. He only had 14 carries coming in. He ended up getting 13 carries for 95 yards on the afternoon, including one touchdown. But South Carolina, I really thought they did a nice job. They got into a rhythm offensively. We've seen it from Tech. The defense is much improved. There's no secret about it. Tech's got a lot of talent. But the opening drives of teams are kind of catching Tech off guard early. South Carolina drove it down before they missed a 34-yard field goal. I thought that was a big play for Tech as far as their confidence, especially as that game progressed.
Right, and looking at both of South Carolina's kickers having some trouble, combined 1-for-7 this year on field goals, and White was 0-for-4. So for them to miss, was it two early? Two in the first half. I mean, we were going to take that and run with it.
Yeah, and Tech, after that missed field goal, we look a week ago back to Western Kentucky, where Western Kentucky went down, got points on their first drive, and Tech had Western Kentucky had a nice drive but didn't score, and then Tech had a quick three and out, and their defense had to get back on the field. This game was the exact opposite. Tech's offense got their opportunity after the missed field goal from White. They drove down the field. They got a Jonathan Barnes field goal. The first quarter was almost over at that point. I think there's just over a minute remaining in the first quarter. I don't think you're going to see that a whole lot in college football. But, you know, Coach Holtz mentioned it in his press conference. He was really happy with how both sides of the ball started pretty quickly, which is something that Tech's really struggled with.
Yeah, for sure. And then in the second quarter, getting a long field goal from Jonathan Barnes, that was encouraging as well. And just seeing that team make a four-place, you know, drive and with a minute and 50, and just to get that 52-yard field goal close to half, I think that was big for Jonathan Barnes.
Yeah, and that 52-yard field goal came after an Aaron Robertson interception. Robertson made a great play on the ball. I think the last 2 weeks, we'll get into the final play of the game where I think he had a little bit of a mistake. But he's playing well at corner. I know College Football Focus breaks down the best players in each conference. A week ago against Western Kentucky, he was rated as the second-best cornerback in the league. So he's playing well. I think Bentley expected his tight end Hurst to go more towards the sideline. Robertson did a nice job coming off his man, made a play on the ball. I think he ran it back 19 yards. So that was nice to see. Tech ends the half up 6-0. You know, it got some momentum. But it's just 6-0. Like you mentioned, you wonder what it's going to be like coming out of the half. But I thought Tech did a really nice job of getting a good drive to start the second half.
Right, for sure. And for Teddy Veal, he's really settled in that slot position. And that they run that slant, you know, nonstop, and it works. And so for him to get in the end zone on a 3-yard pass from Jamar, that was good to see. We needed that. I was feeling really good after that, just with how well our defense was playing, and was really hoping that was going to continue and to go into the fourth quarter. And, I mean, going into the fourth quarter up 13-0, my gosh, I'll take that almost any day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And looking back at that drive that Tech had coming out of the break, the key play for me, Tech was facing a 3rd and 7. Could have been a quick 3-and-out. They put Bonnet in the slot. He runs down the, you know, he kind of fades towards the sideline. Jamar underthrows the ball a little bit, but Bonnet comes back for it. Creates a pass interference. Tech's really rolling after that. Like you mentioned, Teddy Veal scores on a three-yard touchdown pass from Jamar. He had to really fight to get in the end zone. I think his helmet came off. But like you said, I was really impressed with Veal. I think he has 19 catches over the last 2 weeks, 188 yards and a touchdown. I think it's just what the doctor ordered. Coach Holtz talked about today in his press conference how, you know, it's not game to game anymore that he sees Jamar growing up. It's drive to drive that he can really see him progressing. I think a lot of that has to do with the play of Veal and the move of Veal into the slot to kind of give Jamar that security blanket.
Absolutely. And just having a check down or just somebody that you know you can count on, that was Trent Taylor for Tech last year. So I can imagine Jamar is ecstatic about Teddy Veal settling in there. And you're right, Jamar looked great. He looked settled in, a lot less happy feet. And, you know, if we can just have the faith in him to run out and try to make something happen and then throw it away if it's not there, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and so Tech takes that 13-0 lead. Like you mentioned, they're in complete control of the ball game. South Carolina's been anemic offensively outside of two missed field goals. There's no explosive plays outside. But then they put together a quick drive. They drive the ball down the field. They're entering red zone territory, getting into that, you know, that spot. It's the third quarter. It's middle of the third quarter. You're like, man, I hope they don't get a touchdown right here. Damarian King makes a big hit on the running back Williams, jars the ball loose. Deldrick Canty recovers. Tech's in business, to put it quite frank with you. Tech's in business. I remember thinking to myself, if Tech can go up 3 scores right here, this ball game's over. You could already tell. You know, you call it one of the best atmospheres in college football if you want to, but the atmosphere Saturday afternoon for 3.5 quarter was downright terrible. Tech took the crowd out of the game, which is big if you go into an SEC venue.
Absolutely, and like you said, it's that atmosphere wasn't great. We get that ball, we get that fumble, we're in the red zone or close to it, and I don't know if, you know, I'm wondering if Jamar's feeling that pressure of, you know, this is my chance to close it out, and I don't know what happened, but that rollout and then that interception was not pretty.
Yeah, and Jamar's rolling out his third down. You know, you put the ball in the fourth row of the seats. Tech has an easy chip shot field goal. As we've seen, you know, Barnes missed one in the first half from 43 yards, but he's money. You know, he's not going to miss. He has a lot of confidence. Coach Holt said it was a mental mistake. It wasn't a physical mistake. He should have thrown the ball away, but he tried to make the play in the ball game to put away an SEC team on the road. He's a sophomore. He's making his fifth start. I don't think that's something that's just crazy to happen. Like, he's a sophomore.
Right, and we can say this all night, but hindsight's 20/20. Looking back, Jamar throws that ball over that cornerback's head in the corner of the end zone, touchdown. We're singing his praises today, right? It's just, like you said, one of those things that it's tough, you know?
And they make the interception. The guy King, Jamarcus King, makes a good play on the ball. I mean, he toe taps to get in the ball, you know, for the interception. The thing that surprised me the most after that was South Carolina went 97 yards in 16 plays. It wasn't an easy drive, though. You know, they had a third and two. Could have been a three and out. Holtz talked about it today. Bentley rolls outside the pocket. They have man coverage. Everybody's covered. One guy comes off his man, first down. I know you got more on that drive.
Yeah, it took almost a half a quarter. You know, that wears our defense down. That gets the crowd back in the game. I made the comment, I was watching it again last night, just recapping it, and that fourth quarter crowd was an SEC crowd. I mean, they were, you know, they finally get a score, and they're going crazy, and I don't know if that rattled Jamar. I know our defense was tired after a 7.5-minute drive, 16 plays, 97 yards. I mean, that's just a shot to the ego and to the, you know, your morale.
Yeah, it is. And you know, they get the touchdown. You know, it's a 28-yard touchdown to Ortre Smith. I think the biggest part of it that really hurt Tech was Amik Robertson at corner, Cedric Cooper at safety collide. Cooper's experiencing concussion-like symptoms. He's ruled out for the game. Kind of, you know, it takes a senior out of your defensive backfield. Whether you think Cooper's a game changer or not, he has a ton of experience. He had played well throughout that game. I think that was the biggest loss for the Tech defense. The next drive, you know, the momentum has shifted. The crowds, you know, they're ramping up a little bit of what of them are left. Tech has a quick three and out. They punt. And right there at that point, I thought Tech was done. But the defense stands tall, forces a three and out of their own, and I'm like, hey, you know, one, two first downs, you've kind of got some of the momentum back on your side. You can really settle back down and close this ball game out. It doesn't happen. Tech's forced to punt. South Carolina gets the ball back. Two plays, 74 yards. Tech was in a three deep, cover three. The safety, Jordan Baldwin, that was in for Cooper, was out of position. Aaron Roberson played it right. On TV, it looked like he came off his man, and it was supposed to be man-to-man, but it was a three-deep zone. Edwards down the center, then a run off left tackle, and it's 14-13 South Carolina.
Right. After that, that was, you know, we needed a drive. We needed a demoralizing, long, you know, 10-play, 84-yard drive like we got.
And one thing I'll say about that 84-yard drive, Jamar Smith is growing up. It's obvious. You know, you have a sophomore quarterback. He's done it 2 weeks in a row. Tech drives it down the field. You can say Holtz was conservative when he got down to the red zone. I don't think you can blame him. Smith had thrown a red zone interception earlier. He was looking to do exactly what they did last week against Western Kentucky. They came up one first down short. Barnes kicks a 25-yard field goal. Tech leads 16-14, 55 seconds to go. South Carolina gets the ball.
Right. You said it. Tech was doing exactly what they wanted to do. My problem with that, and it, like I said, hindsight's 20/20. Just looking back, I mean, you know, we do two runs, you know, on the 10-yard line or whatever, don't get much, 7 yards maybe, and it's just the one part of me, one side of me is like, right, you know, run the clock out and let's get a field goal and get out of here. The other part of me is, I mean, this is an SEC school, and if you want to win big games, you got to make big plays. And so coming away with the field goal out of that drive, I wasn't confident or didn't, you know, I agree.
There was time left on the clock.
Right. And so it's just, I wanted something a little more. I wanted to be more aggressive. Granted, if he goes and incompletes two passes and there's 2 minutes left, then we're, you know,
well, and,
mad about that,
you know,
too.
It's college football. You know, we say they had zero timeouts. Well, the clock stops on a timeout in college football, so 55 seconds can sometimes feel like an eternity. The first play of the drive for South Carolina, Bentley throws one down the sideline. Baldwin lights up the guys. Initially called for targeting. The refs rightfully reversed the call. On second down, Tech flushes him out again. He throws it away. Third down, maybe the play of the game outside of the next play. Jalen Ferguson has him in his arms, can't get him down. I think Tech had a spy at linebacker on the play. He comes up to rush. He misses Bentley as well. Bentley runs 24 yards down the field to the South Carolina 45. Chaos ensues. South Carolina decides not to spike it. Bentley throws it, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field. Jump ball, Amik Robertson's there to make the play. 6'3" Brian Edwards goes over the top, makes a miraculous catch. And that sums it up right there, a miraculous catch. That's what it took for South Carolina to come away with the victory. We can say South Carolina made the winning play, or we could say Tech had numerous opportunities to win the ball game themselves. That's what I'm going to go with, because I think when Tech takes a look, they've obviously taken a look at the game film. There's areas you have to clean up. If you're going to win on the road in the SEC, you have to be near flawless. But Parker White, you mentioned they're 1 of 7 on field goals this year. Well, his one was he nailed it, 31 yards. Jonathan Barnes was asked about it. What did he think the chances of White making the field goal today in the press conference was? He said, I knew he was going to nail it. When you've missed that many in a row, one's bound to go in at some point. And it went in. And Tech falls 17-16. Tough loss for the Dogs. That's about all I got on South Carolina.
Right, and like you had mentioned earlier, you know, you thought on that deep pass that Amik had maybe made a mistake, and we thought maybe that ball went through his hands on the tried to pick it instead of swatting it down. It pretty much unraveled after that, and just, you know, we all saw it. It was rough.
It was, but let's get to a quick timeout. After the break, we'll be joined by South Alabama, the voice of the Jaguars, J.D. Byers, as we preview the matchup between Tech and South Alabama Saturday night inside Joe A. Stadium. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotts today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay, for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right, down home cooking from Scotts tonight.
Scotts Catfish and Seafood, Ruston, West Monroe.
The iconic Jeep brand is celebrating with great deals on every Jeep model. Get a 17 Jeep Renegade Sport for only $17.9. A 17 Jeep Renegade Latitude is only $19.9. A 17 Jeep Cherokee Latitude is only $20,009. A 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited is only $34.9. And a 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland is $6,000 off MSRP. Jeep celebration days are coming to a close, so hurry in for the best deals on your next Jeep at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This weekend, Louisiana Tech will host South Alabama at 6 p.m. inside Joe I.A. Stadium. And to preview the Jaguars, we're now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by the voice of the Jaguars, J.D. Byers. How you doing tonight, J.D.?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Not a whole lot we can complain about outside of a tough Louisiana Tech loss on the road at South Carolina a week ago. Just to get into a few things, obviously the big news in Mobile this week, offensive coordinator Brian Vincent has been relieved of his duties. Kind of your thoughts after the Jaguars are off to a tough 1-3 start, and what to expect from the Jaguar offense going forward?
Well, you know, it's a tough time for any coaching group of guys. I mean, they're tight knit. They have a history together. They've coached together, and they've been down a lot of war paths together. And game preps, it's tough to part ways mid season, or if ever, for that matter. So, right now they're trying to, you know, put that behind them and have the best interest of the young men and the team and go forward. But, you know, of course, he has stepped aside now. Brian Vincent, Coach Joey Jones, our head coach, have a history. And so it's a tough time right now. Richard Owens is going to be the offensive coordinator. He had been working with the offensive line, and he'll move now to quarterbacks and be the primary play caller, more than likely on the field, and just try to, you know, salvage and get back into a goal of, you know, getting back into conference play after you guys and make it to another bowl game, if not salvage enough to win a conference championship.
And you mentioned get back to another bowl game for a South Alabama program that's, you know, they've been to two bowl games in 3 years. Joey Jones obviously led the program as they transitioned to FBS just a few years ago. What's the vibe in Mobile around the program right now?
There's excitement because they've always been hungry for it, and the student body had been hungry for it and introduced it in the late 90s. There was some proration at the time that tabled that talk. The president at the time, but now the late president Moulton, reintroduced it, said, hey, if you've got enough support here as a student body and want to help fund it, we'll do it. Fast forward to today, I think expectations are that of more than what we're producing right now. Having some signature wins and some success and then winning games that we probably shouldn't win, but then losing games we should win, do have to get some people frustrated at times. And I think because of the rich football tradition in the state of Alabama and especially here along the Gulf Coast, folks want more. And, you know, they want to see some victories and would love to see us bring home a conference championship and a little bit more than just a bowl appearance, you know, bowl victory at some point. Last year we had Air Force on the ropes, had them up 3 scores and allowed a comeback in a disastrous last 2 minutes before the half. So they also want to see a bowl win.
And you mentioned how, you know, a bowl win, you know, more success than just 6-win seasons is really the goal of the program right now. It's obviously been a tough 1-3 start for the Jaguars. Anytime you play Ole Miss and Oklahoma State, it's tough to win those Power 5 games. We've seen it here at Tech many times. But after a tough double overtime loss at home in conference to Idaho, Tech has a young team here that just had a tough loss to South Carolina, so a lot surrounding the Tech program are really wondering how Tech will respond. How do you think the South Alabama team is going to respond after such a tough loss?
You know, one of the best things I heard since Monday, you know, now just 24 hours later since our media luncheon we had, was that they did meet as a team. The coaches did break the news on the offense coordinator situation. But the good news was there was some senior leadership that stepped up and said, Coach, so much of this has been put on your back, and you take so much blame for us not being a good third down team, so much blame being taken by you as a coaching staff for penalties. But, Coach, we don't line up right on 3rd and 3. That marches us back. If we convert that first down right there, you know, we run this out. And that onus has to go on us. So we want to step up, Coach, and take part of this blame. And we heard that some seniors said, guys, at the end of the day, it's on us. They're not playing. They're not out there for the snaps. They have headsets on, and we've got to take ownership of this team. That was something that was very encouraging. If they're going to respond, it's going to be because they want to do it for each other. Having played collegiately, and, you know, I can remember the locker rooms, and I've been through some tough times as a player. I remember what it was like to say, Coach wants to win. He wants to have a great career, but at the end of the day, it's that guy I'm dressing next to. It's the guy I'm lining up next to. It's the guy I'm looking at in the huddle. You got to want to win for each other. And right now it looks like this team has come together and they really want to win for each other.
Well, you know, that's an encouraging thing. And, you know, folks here in Ruston are certainly hoping the same for Louisiana Tech. When you look at the quarterback position for South Alabama, I know that Cole Garvin got the start in the opener against Ole Miss. Coach Holtz mentioned in his press conference that he went down with an injury. Dallas Davis, you know, he's seen time throughout his 3 years at South Alabama. Kind of the status on Garvin going into this week and who you expect to see get a majority of the reps?
I think it's still Dallas. I don't know if Cole's going to be 100%. Dallas Davis was our quarterback of record when we went to Mississippi State and beat them in Starkville last year. Cole Garvin, though, was the quarterback at home when we upset number 19 San Diego State last year. So both very effective, and they were kind of a neck-and-neck thing. And then it was kind of a funny in a way. Dallas goes down odd. We were afraid he had re-injured his shoulder. He really had the breath knocked out of him. Evan Orth, you remember, I guess you saw his brother over the weekend, the quarterback at South Carolina, but Evan Orth, his younger brother, plays for us. He was shuttled into the game quickly, kind of a, oh gosh, I wasn't counting on playing today, and reeled off about a 50-yard run and then hobbled off because he hadn't stretched. He's kind of gotten cold there on the sideline. So Evan Orth is a guy that doesn't have near the reps. I think he would be a second string. I just don't think Cole Garvin's ready to go, much less start.
Xavier Johnson, he's obviously the bell cow running back for the Jaguars. Really what makes that offense go. A week ago against Idaho, 20 carries, 155 yards, and a touchdown. Saturday against Louisiana Tech, will it be much of the same? I know it's a new offensive coordinator like we've talked about, but I guess the Jaguar offense really hinges on the shoulders of Xavier Johnson.
You know, it does. He's a senior, and that was his 10th 100-yard rushing game. But we look and we see that front four and a guy named Ferguson that lines up for the Bulldogs, and I think they know what they're up against. This is a very talented team, not just the front, second layer, the third level, because, you know, four interceptions and getting some good corner play, you guys are probably as good as we face in the secondary as well. So they're going to have their work cut out. They were able to open up big holes against Idaho. Totally different animal. I think we already understand just by looking at some film, it's going to be a totally different matchup with the front five against the front four of Louisiana Tech. So if the run's there, I'll be surprised. I think it'll have to be some creative play calling to find openings and creases in that Bulldog front.
Defensively, the Jaguars run a 4-2-5 scheme similar to Louisiana Tech. Obviously, it takes, you know, some athletic defensive linemen to really make a defense like that work. The Jaguars have been very good at stopping the run. Your thoughts on the defensive line? I know Coach Holtz mentioned that they can go 10 or 12 guys deep. What have they really done up front to provide a lot of success?
It is. He's right. It's the depth. We may not have anybody on the front or at linebacker that's all conference, but what we do have is not much fall off between the ability of the first and second. And a lot of those guys, if you interview them, they'll say, guys, we've got three and five techniques and linebackers that aren't even able to travel because we got so many of them and we're that deep. So they're able to put guys in on third down situations, third and long, goal line, and keep guys fresh, and that's really helped us a lot because, again, nobody's out there probably going to post All-American numbers. Can't do that when you're shuffling in and out anyway, but it has been our depth, and last year that was our Achilles heel. Went into the year losing actually three of our starters on the front before we even kicked the season off. We lost a linebacker as well, so the injury bug plagued us a year ago, and we've just been knocking on wood all off season and into the first four games. But that's our strength right there, because at corner and at safety, we have been plagued. We had a probably all first team conference guy at safety. We lost him to academic ineligibility. Then we lost a safety that originally signed with Penn State, and Nico Robinson, a freshman, stepped up for him. Has been playing lights out. And then against Alabama A&M, he gets interception. And he's injured, so he's out as well, Gus Knave. And that's where we've been really banged up in the secondary.
Your keys to the game for Saturday night when South Alabama travels to Louisiana Tech?
Well, it's going to be easier said than done, but we've got to establish the run, and we've got to have time-consuming drives because, you know, we know the history of quarterbacks there. We know the weapons. Teddy Veal's numbers is just remarkable. I think he caught 10 for you guys in that loss in South Carolina. We know what the weapons are, both throwing and catching the football. So if we can stay on offense and eat up some time and execute and put together drives, we've been good in the red zone too. You know, we've been bad on third down, but in the red zone, we're a 90% plus team. More of those drives, though, do need to end with touchdowns, and to improve on third down as part of having a time-consuming drive. And I think our coaching staff says that starts and ends with establishing the run.
Well, JD, we thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we're looking towards a fun one on Saturday night.
Hey, we can't wait to get over. It's a trip we've been looking forward to. See you guys there.
Thanks, JD. JD Byers, voice of the South Alabama Jaguars, joining us on the Fairway Carts Hotline. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
Can you believe hunting season's here? Are you ready? You will be when you call Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales for a custom-built hunting camp or deer stand. Ideal builds to your specs, designed exactly like you want it built. And Ideal always delivers the best price and best quality. Whenever you need to haul it, cover it, or store it, you need Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We are responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined by good friend in the studio, Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech, final non-conference matchup of the season, will host 1-3 South Alabama Saturday night inside Joe Ice Stadium in what will be the first matchup between the two programs. You just heard from voice of the Jaguars, J.D. Byers. One thing that was really interesting that I took away from it was that Dallas Davis is expected to get the start for the Jaguars. Davis is a junior quarterback. He's seen playing time, you know, through his first 3 years. When you look at this South Alabama passing attack, they've really struggled. They're throwing for just 175 yards a game. Cole Garvin got the start against Ole Miss, played well against Ole Miss. Granted, they lost, I think, by 3 scores, but he threw for 227 yards and a touchdown or two. He's definitely I think he's the better quarterback. So it's a good sign for Tech that he's out. Dallas Davis will get the start, completing just 55% of his passes. I think it'll be key for Tech to really get things going with their edge pass rush. Byers just mentioned South Alabama hasn't seen a front four like Tech will possess on Saturday.
Right, and we were just talking about it. We need to see Ferguson come alive a little bit. He had a great game against Western Kentucky, but I think we've been missing him in some of those times, and so I was just curious about South Alabama's offensive line and whether that's, you know, Ferguson has the ability to make some plays. I know they run the ball a ton, but I mean he's got to just push and grind for 4 more months. He has an opportunity to make a lot of money, and we need to see more out of him.
Yeah, and you look at Jalen Ferguson. I know he collected a sack against South Carolina, but he had the big 2 sacks against Western Kentucky, probably the 2 key plays in the game that gave Tech the win. But you know, other than that, we haven't heard a whole lot from him. Is he seeing double teams? Is he seeing protection slid his way? Absolutely. You know, when you're the best pass rushing defensive end in the conference, when you're one of the premier pass rushers in America after 14 and a half sacks, that's what you're going to get. It's just part of the ball game. I think Ferguson's good enough to beat double teams. He's smart enough. He knows the scheme. The rest of the Tech defensive line, Deldrick Canty, has been dynamite through four games. I know he doesn't show up huge in the stat column, you know, with 5, 6, 8 sacks a year, but he's consistent at his defensive line spot, defensive end spot. And then inside, Jordan Bradford, he has more heart than anyone on the team. And sophomore Kadarian Mason's been playing very well. So it'll be key for that Tech defensive line to really, you know, stop the run. You know, South Alabama's coming into the game averaging 153 yards rushing a game. They've just canned their offensive coordinator. Things aren't, you know, they're not all shiny and mobile as far as how things are going offensively. But if Tech lets Xavier Johnson and Trey Minter get going in the run game, South Alabama could hang around a lot longer than expected. Beck, what are you really looking for from the Tech offense? You look at how Tech has fared through four games. I don't think it's any secret to Bulldog fans out there. This team is truly a work in progress. When you go back to Northwestern State, you look ahead to South Carolina, the team has improved. What are you looking for offensively in the final non-conference tune-up?
Well, we've had two games now of Teddy Veal in the slot and Bonnett on the outside, and I think that this is going to be my hot take, but I think it's going to be an aerial assault. I hope it is. I mean, I hope Jamar this might be a game that we can work on getting him a little confidence passing the ball.
I hope it's that type of ball game.
Right, and I hope it's exciting. And, you know, Jared Kraft and Boston Scott have been doing great. Pounding the ball in, and I think this has potential to be one of our most offensively productive games, and especially in Ruston this year. And I know that Northwestern was a frustrating game just because of how late the offense came, but I think it'll be one of those games that we, you know, sit back in the stands and just have fun watching.
Yeah, and if you have any thoughts on the South Alabama game, the South Carolina game, you can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you. You make a good point when you think it could be a highly explosive offensive game. Those were my thoughts headed into this week. South Alabama, you know, they're stopping the run pretty well. They're really struggling through the air. I think anytime you face Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, you're going to give up a lot of pass yards. But Jamar Smith continues to progress. I know you and I were talking, I think it was Saturday night, maybe Sunday. Yes, he's made 5 career starts, but he's made 3 of those starts against the SEC. He's definitely battle-tested.
Right, and 2 of those he should have won.
Absolutely.
You know,
I agree.
For sure this last one, Arkansas last year, I still say we should have won it. Some people say that was a hard-fought game and we, you know, whatever. But, I mean, he's got an impressive resume. I mean, he's played well against these teams and, you know, I'm ready to see him get. I mean, he's visibly more comfortable in the pocket. If we can just eliminate some of those mental mistakes and let him fling that ball down the field a little bit.
And I think Coach Holtz mentioned today, you know, Jamar is far more advanced at this stage in his career. It's easy to say, you know, oh, Jamar Smith's been on campus 3 years. He should have 100% of the offense down. He should have all the checks down. That's easier said than done. He's talented. He's clearly talented. He's a multi-sport athlete. He's in the film room till 11:30 at night. He's really learning the intricacies of the game. And that's what you want to see out of a young quarterback still feeling his way through. I think, you know, he might know 100% of the offense, but until you actually run those plays in a game situation, it's difficult. I'll be interested to see just how loose that Tech offense is early. You know, you have such an emotional loss against South Carolina. You have such a young football team. You have a football team that could really, you know, they could be down in the dumps. They could kind of ease their way through practice this week. I think it's big for Tech to get off to a quick start.
Absolutely. And you know, after the Arkansas game last year, Holtz made the comment that they had only opened up 30-35% of the playbook for Jamar. And I'm curious to know now what that number is, and if, you know, if they do a lot of the same plays, you know, or not same plays, but a lot
same
of those
style.
Same style plays. And I'm wondering if if every week if Holtz is giving him a little bit more, that may be where some of that comfortability is coming from. We're just comfortable in what he knows. But like I said, I'm interested to know how much Jamar is progressing through the playbook.
And Coach Holtz was asked today in his press conference, you know, when do you find out that a young football team isn't focused? When do you find out that a young football team is still, you know, mourning a loss to South Carolina? He said a lot of it is shown on a Tuesday or Wednesday, days when, you know, they're in full pads, they're really going through some things at live speed. And if guys aren't focused, he's going to challenge his senior leaders. You know, there's only 13 seniors on this football team. Each and every one of them has a role, regardless of playing time, in leading this football team. Hopefully, we don't see that happen. I think, for me at least, this is an easy trap game. You know, you're 2-2. You know, most of the Tech faithful, you know, granted, they're disappointed about South Carolina. I think that's pretty obvious. But you're 2-2, you're 1-0 in the conference, you've beat the premier program in Conference USA. You know, step on the throat of South Alabama, worry about UAB next week, and then we'll go win the conference.
Right. It would be nice to be able to hang some big numbers on South Alabama as we launch into a full Conference USA schedule. I think it's more important than probably some people are putting on that, just because of what it can mean to just get a big win before you start really diving into the heart of conference play.
And defensively for Tech this week, Legarius Sneed, he'll get the start opposite Amik Robertson at cornerback. Sneed's a guy, he played corner last year. I know he had a pick six in the Conference USA Championship game. He shifted back to safety this fall. He's back at corner. A lot of it has to do to the lack of depth with Michael Sam being out with the ankle foot injury. He'll get the start at corner. I think you'll still see Aaron Roberson get plenty of playing time. Him, Meek, and Legarius have proven to be the top three corners. They'll be in for a tall task, literally, this weekend. When you look at the three wide receivers for South Alabama, they go 6'4", 6'4", 6'3". They got big receivers, probably more possession guys if I were a betting man. Not many times are you going to see a Sun Belt program have a ton of 6'4 guys that can run a 4'4". It's the Sun Belt. ULM plays in the Sun Belt, so we know the competition of that league. Tech will need to get off to a quick start. Defensively, you know, anything more than 20 points will surprise me if they give up that much.
Right, they know the run is coming, so they ought to be stacking the box and be preparing for that this week. And, you know, like you said, they're just not putting up big passing numbers. And so hopefully those guys, the defensive line and Ferguson and those guys, can really just eat on Saturday
and
night.
Coach Holtz said today in his press conference, I keep going back to his press conference, today was one of the most interesting press conferences that he's had since I've been following the Dawgs with Bleed Tech Blue. You know, you could just tell that loss at South Carolina bothered him. You could tell he was really candid. He gave out a lot of stuff that lets you know how much he believes in this football team. And one thing that he said, you know, you're 2-2. You've lost to two SEC schools. All your goals are in front of you. The question was asked, you know, after what you've learned through 4 weeks, are those goals still attainable? He said he thinks that this team can obtain more than the past three teams have. To me, that means he thinks they can win a conference championship, they can get to the 10-win plateau, they can really take the program to the next step. That was big. You don't hear Coach Holtz say a whole lot in regards to that. And I think if Tech does take that next step, obviously, long way to go, 8 games, pump the brakes, BC, but it shows you a lot that Coach Holtz has been impressed.
Right, and you touched on it a minute ago. Just this was a personal game for Skip, I think. I mean, I think there's some history in South Carolina with his dad, and I think he wanted to win this one maybe more than the average game.
Absolutely. Another big one this weekend, South Alabama at home, 6 p.m. We're going to take a quick timeout. After the break, we'll be joined by the Hall of Famer, the voice of the Bulldogs, Dave Nitz. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotch today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right. Down home cooking from Scotch tonight.
Scotts, Catfish and Seafood. Ruston, West Monroe.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. We are now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by the voice of the Bulldogs, the Hall of Famer, Dave Nitz. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you, I was telling John Tabor, I said, I bet you, if you can guess where I am and what I'm doing, I'll give you the gift card back.
I hear you. I know you're somewhere on the road. Freeway Dave.
Well, I'm at the Petro truck stop in outside Little Rock, Arkansas, headed back to Shreveport from St. Louis today.
Well, that's good to hear. We thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. It was a
pleasure. Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate what you guys did for me with the gift card and all that. That was, very unexpected, and I really appreciate it very much. That was great of you guys.
Well, it was the least we could do for you. You're very deserving. I know you mean so much to Tech fans everywhere. I know it was a pleasure for me to have my baseball games called by the legend Dave Nitz for 4 years.
And you threw, what was you doing, throwing that 68-mile-an-hour fastball?
Hey, you know it. But getting two things. You look at your Louisiana Tech broadcasting career. You're going on 43 years now. Did you ever imagine making it this long?
No, I didn't. I'll put it this way. I didn't imagine being in Ruston or Louisiana Tech this long. When my wife and I, when we moved to Ruston, we actually moved to Ruston in 73, I guess it was, and working in radio, and you know what I'm talking about, about every 3 years you move because whatever salary you started out at, you usually ended up there. So, every 3 years we were moving. West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, Georgia, Oklahoma, and ended up in Ruston. And I told her then, I said, hey, give me 3 years. We'll be back in Ohio or West Virginia. We both like North Carolina. We'll be back there somewhere because my wife and I both grew up in West Virginia. So, I never thought I'd be in Ruston for 43 years, let alone doing Louisiana Tech sports for 43 years. it's quite of an accomplishment, I think.
It is, and you know, I know all of Louisiana Tech has loved having you. And when you look at, you know, your 43 years of calling Louisiana Tech football, what are a couple of moments that really stick out to you?
Well, of course, the big one was the Cangelosi catch against Alabama. The guy that was professor at Notre Dame wrote a book, The 100 Greatest Calls, and this was probably 10, 12 years ago when he wrote this book, and it was the 100 Greatest Calls in College Football, and that was one of them. And I can't even remember what Hail Marys or something. I can't remember what the name of the book is. I've got it at the house. But he's got a CD in the back of it, and it's got all of those 100 calls on that CD, which, you know, that had to be the big one. There's no question about it. That has to be the number one above anything.
And one question I had for you, it's kind of individualized towards a particular athlete, but when you look back at that Nebraska game when Troy Edwards went off for, I think it was 21 catches, 405 yards, what was it like just seeing that day as it progressed in Lincoln?
Well, I'll tell you, with Tim Rattay at quarterback and Edwards at the wide receiver, and you know, I've been in Sioux City, Iowa the last 9 years doing baseball, and they're big Nebraska fans because Nebraska's right across the Missouri River from Sioux City. And I had a lot of people throughout these last 9 years come to me and talk to me about that because they knew I did the Louisiana Tech games, and they still talk about it, you know. And I've always said if Tech had any defense at all on that afternoon, we would have beaten Nebraska because they could not stop us, but we couldn't stop them because we were a lot faster than their defensive backs were, and Troy Edwards just put on a show. What's the greatest thing about it? After the game, as they were headed to the locker room, the Nebraska fans were wanting autographs from Tim Rattay and Troy Edwards.
Oh, that had to be pretty cool. You mentioned Tim Rattay, Troy Edwards. Who are a couple of your other favorite athletes, whether to come through Tech, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, that you really just enjoyed watching?
Well, of course, Karl Malone, you know, from a basketball standpoint, no doubt about it. Probably none of us thought he would be as great as he would be. I remember broadcasting his first game. We played at Texas Pan American. He was he had to sit out his freshman year. So he was a redshirt freshman. And he scores 18 points in his first college game. I think it was 16, 18 points, something like that. And I said, you know, this guy may not be too bad after all. Little did I know. But I'll tell you, one of the best athletes that a lot of people have even forgotten about was Keith Thibodeau. As a quarterback at Louisiana Tech, as a pitcher in baseball, two-sport guy who was just outstanding. I saw him dunk basketballs playing around up at the old Memorial Gym. I mean, he was just an all-around athlete, and a lot of people forgot about him. And I think he was one of the best all-around athletes that I have seen. You know, of course, we had a guy that ran track, Ricky Stubbs. I remember Stubbs when he played. We had a slow-pitch softball team there in Ruston, and if he hit one on the ground, you just well put it in your back pocket because he was already across first base. But, you know, those are some of the ones that really stand out to me as really great athletes.
And baseball being your first love, I know you just mentioned earlier how you wrapped up your Sioux City career after 9 years. What about baseball makes it your first love? I know you're a big Giants fan.
Well, I am. I can't remember. 3 or 4 years ago, the Giants and the Rangers played in the World Series, and I worked for the Giants for, about 14, 15 years with the AA team in Shreveport. Of course, I worked with the Rangers AAA team in Oklahoma City. So when they played in the World Series, I said, you know, I can't lose here. You know, one of my teams is going to win. I don't think there's going to be a tie. But, you know, my baseball, I guess, love goes back to my dad. I was about 3 or 4 years old, and back in West Virginia, he coached and played. They had these steel mills and little towns around the Huntington-Charleston area. And, you know, he played and coached. And so I followed him around. I was like a bat boy, probably like a pimple on a on your butt, you know. But, you know, I was a bad boy at that age, and I remember my dad telling me, he said, they were playing somebody, and they hollered, hey, Nitz, it's your turn to bat. And, well, I guess what? I grabbed a bat, and I was headed to home plate. And, of course, you know, my dad had to get me away from there. But, you know, I've been on baseball field since I was 3 years old, so it's hard not to love that game. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I've been in pro baseball now for 36 years. It's going to be tough. Next summer is going to be tough for me to walk away from the game from a professional standpoint. Although I'll still have the Louisiana Tech baseball, that summer is going to cause a void. And my youngest son told me, he said, well, Dad, you can help me coach my 18 and under travel team next year. So I don't know about that. But anyway, you know, baseball is my number one love. You know, everybody knows that, I think.
Dave, Tech's been lucky enough to hear you call baseball, basketball, and football. I'm just curious, which one is the toughest to call, or which one took you the longest to get the grasp of?
Football, really, because, you know, basketball is so quick and fast. Keeping up with it, you know, all you have to do there from a play-by-play standpoint, and I've got a great guy, Jack Thigpen, that does the color with me, and he can analyze defenses and things like that, which I don't have the time to do. And I've got to keep up with the score, the time, what's going on the floor, like that. I think that's pretty easy. Baseball I enjoy because it's more of a conversational sport. It's a play-by-play. It's not a real hard, you know, every play's life or death. And I think baseball's more of a laid-back, conversational type of play-by-play. Football is my hardest because you have 22 guys on the field, and they may be running in 22 different directions at the same time, and you're trying to keep up with that. So football is definitely the hardest.
And looking at, you know, football, the new press box, how awesome is that just to get that new press box? How badly was it needed, and how much did it mean to you to have the home radio booth named after yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, it's long overdue, I have to say that. Keith Prince, a longtime sports information director at Tech, who I worked for about 15 years as his assistant, he came in the first game and he looked at me and he said, did you ever think this would ever happen? I said, no, Keith, I never did. But then to have the booth named after me was another I was speechless, I guess you might say, when Tommy McClellan made the announcement at a luncheon we had, and, you know, never thought of that, never dreamed about it. But I appreciate the people that were involved that made all that happen. It was, it was great, great honor for me, and I really appreciated it.
Looking at this 2017 Bulldog football team, obviously they're four games into the season. What are some bright spots that you've seen, and what are you excited to see as the season continues to progress?
I think the thing that I've seen that I really like, they have really matured and gotten better as the season has gone along. You know, there was a lot of questions. Let's face it, when you lose guys like Henderson and Taylor as your wide receivers, I don't care who the quarterback is, you know, there's going to have to be some adjustments made. And I think Jamar is starting to make those adjustments, and I think he's doing a good job. And, you know, he's starting to find out, okay, who's the guy that I need to go to? And it looks like Teddy Beal is his go-to guy right now. We used to kid on the air when we had third down. We used to call it third down and Trent Taylor because that's who Higgins was going to go to, you know, no question about it. So I think Jamar is looking for that one receiver that he can really rely on if he's in trouble. And I think Beal is becoming that one receiver. And I think they're progressing very nicely right now. I think if anybody had told you that, okay, Tech after four games going to be 2-2 and lose to South Carolina by 1 point, they had said, oh my gosh, I'd take that right now. And I think, and had a chance to beat South Carolina, you know, and on top of that. So, you know, I think I've seen a lot of progression made over these four games. And I think this is a team that can possibly win Conference USA and win the Western Division. I really do.
Well, Dave, this has been some great stuff. We thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight, and we're looking forward to another great call Saturday night when Tech hosts South Alabama.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and thanks to all you guys for the gift card. That was unexpected and very much appreciated. I really do thank everyone that made that possible.
Oh, anytime. You are certainly deserving. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Dave Nitz, voice of the Bulldogs, Louisiana Tech legend. That was some great stuff. He provided some great insight. It's always good to catch up with a legend, a guy that Louisiana Tech fans have a warm spot in their heart for. I know I'll never forget the call, Cangelosi against Alabama. That's a call that will forever be ingrained in my brain. Dave Nitz, voice of the Bulldogs. We'll take a quick timeout. After this timeout, we'll make our predictions for South Alabama. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
It's the grand opening of Truck Pros, the truck capital of Northeast Louisiana, on Constitution Avenue next to Cracker Barrel. At Truck Pros, we specialize in making sure we have the year and model of the truck you're looking for. Late model vehicles from 2008s to 2017s. 1 ton to the 2500, diesel, dualies, crew cabs, extended and regular cabs. Zero down, payments as low as $199 and no payments till January. We're open late till 8 p.m. or shop online at truckpros.us, next to Cracker Barrel in West Monroe.
With WSE 1.79% from Capital One Financing, 48 months, no payment till January.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh, it might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad, but we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's the sports company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here on your home for sports in North Louisiana, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio as we wrap up the show in our final segment. First, we're joined on the Fairway Carts Hotline by Jim. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
Hey, man, what you doing, man? You know, we got a national treasure there with Mitch and Nick.
Yes, we did. Dave's a legend.
Oh, my goodness.
It's always good to catch up with Dave.
I'm telling you, man, I enjoyed that. Thank you very much for doing that. My goodness, that man is a national treasure.
He surely is. A true Louisiana Tech legend.
I'm telling you. Look, I'm a Tech fan. Been here for 26 years, and go Bulldogs. Thank you, man.
Thanks for calling tonight, Jim.
Oh, not a problem, brother. Bye-bye.
Jim, calling us on the Fairway Carts Hotline. Thanks for the call. Dave Nitz, truly a Louisiana Tech legend. It's always good to hear from Dave. Just a few of your thoughts on the interview with Dave.
First of all, I could listen to that man talk all day long. He's got it. And I know he's seen a lot, and I'm jealous. I'm a little envious of the games that he's called and just been able to witness. And you can tell his love for Tech and the people here, and it's just neat to – those are the kind of people you want surrounding this program. So I'm glad to just been able to pay attention to him for since I've been at Tech and a little bit after, and he's always just one of those guys you look to and just are thankful he's around, and he's just a Tech staple.
Yeah, I know he's hoping to finish out his three-year contract that he signed this year with Louisiana Tech. He's truly a legend. I'm like you. I could listen to him every night. I love hearing his calls, especially when their calls go in the Bulldogs' way. Shifting things back to South Alabama, 1-3, Louisiana Tech 2-2. I think Tech's a little bit under a 14-point favorite, two-touchdown favorite. I'm excited to see how things pan out. You look at, 3 weeks ago now, 28,000 in the stadium for Mississippi State. Tech obviously didn't play their best game. I'm interested to see what the attendance will be like this week. What are your expectations?
Well, I think early everybody was excited about the new press box. Just, you know, you always have a lot of interest and a lot of attendance in the early in the season just to get things kicked off. This was our last home game was a loss. I don't think that affects it. I think that was, you know, not expected, but it was a big school coming here to play. And so I don't know. This, it has in the past kind of slowed down midseason, or at least, you know, I know with these games, we have a lot of fans that bring their kids. And so after halftime, they're going to put kids down. And so I'm looking for Tech to be a school that, you know, we stick around. And, you know, I think part of that has to do with halftime scores. And I hope that, you know, I hope we hang 100 on South Alabama. But at the same time, I mean, it's a challenge that we always want every week for to have a bunch of fans and have them stay for the whole game. And so I'm looking for – I doubt we'll have the attendance like we did at Mississippi State, but I'm looking for a big crowd.
Yeah, I think if Tech can get, you know, 22,000, 23,000 in there, that'd be a nice crowd. It's family and faith night, I know. Hopefully that, like you mentioned, that brings the families out. Interesting opponent. I just want to challenge the Tech fan base. Show up for these guys. It's a young football team. Mississippi State obviously wasn't pretty. Northwestern State wasn't the prettiest of games, even though Tech won by four touchdowns. This is a different football team. The last 2 weeks they've been on the road against Western Kentucky and South Carolina. They've grown up a lot. I think you'll be really impressed, whether it's the quarterback play with Jamar Smith, whether it's the play of Teddy Veal. Tech fans haven't got to see firsthand it live and in action how good Veal really is. He's fun to watch. I think, you know, whether you want to watch defense, if you're looking for a good defensive battle, you know, we've mentioned Ferguson, Jalen Ferguson needs to, you know, make those more wow plays. Well, here's the opportunity to get to see him make some of those wow plays. It should be a fun night. I expect Tech to win. I think most all Bulldog fans expect Tech to win. Beck, I want to ask you, what's your Bleed Tech Blue hot take of the week?
Ben, I mentioned it earlier, but I do think that Jamar is going to – his passing game is going to break out a little bit this week. I'm predicting over 300 yards passing. I think we're going to see some deep balls to Bonnet on the outside, and I think it's going to be an aerial assault. You know, I'm really looking – like you mentioned, you're looking – expecting Tech to win. I need Tech to win. You know, we lost a heartbreaker. Tech lost a heartbreaker last week.
For my sanity.
Right, and I lost a heartbreaker in fantasy football to you. So you I'm did. Looking for some sports pick-me-ups because I need them bad.
Yeah, and I mentioned that, you know, I expect Tech to win. My Bleed Tech Blue hot take is this game's never in doubt. South Alabama never is in the ball game. Tech takes complete control from the opening kickoff. They dominate South Alabama in remarkable fashion. I'm going to say 48-17 is the final. 48 is a lot of points to score, but I think week five, I think this is the week that Tech puts it all together. They take that next step forward. Whether you follow the program closely or not, I think a lot of folks will leave Joe Ice Stadium, whether you leave in the third quarter or, you know, middle of the fourth when the ball game's essentially out of hand. I think you'll leave knowing that Louisiana Tech is the favorite in Conference USA. Your thoughts for a prediction?
Right, that's you know, we talked about it's going to be an offensive powerhouse. I'm going to go 42 42-14. I just don't see South Alabama throwing the ball that much. You know, they've probably heard of number 21, Amik. They're scared of him. He's fun to watch. He's electric. He's fire. He's somebody that has been making big plays and still learning. He's a freshman, and that's what's awesome. I'm excited we get him for the next 4 years. And so, anyways, I think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't see South Alabama taking the ball to the air too much.
Yeah, I think Tech's really going to stack the box early. I don't think Holtz and defensive coordinator coach Blake Baker have any issues leaving Amik Robertson or Aaron Robertson or Lajarius Sneed on an island. Obviously, they're not going to go 100% man-to-man, no safety over the top. But I think they're really going to make a concerted effort to make South Carolina throw the football, get them in some third and long situations. I think I just said South Carolina for the 93rd time tonight. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to get South Alabama in some third and long situations. The Jaguars are only converting 20% of their third downs. That's a big key to victory. You have to control the line of scrimmage. You have to feed Jared Kraft and Boston Scott, and we call them the factory at Bleed Tech Blue, and you have to limit the turnovers, and you have to get off the field on third down. Tech defense has given up 42% of third downs this season. South Alabama's only converting 20%. Something has to give Saturday night.
Right, and I think the boys are going to come out hungry. I think they're ready to move on from last week, and I don't know if that game hurt more because it was close, or I went into that game not necessarily 100% confident or thinking that we should win, but because it was so close, it was disappointing and it hurt a lot more. And if, like I had said earlier, it's crazy to say it, if we had lost by more, I don't think I'd be as mad. Who knows? But anyways, boys are looking to bounce back. They need this one going into Conference USA play next week. Full steam ahead coming up through the heart of the season, so they need this one.
Real quick before we get out of here, Tabor, your prediction for Tech South Alabama.
I think the Dogs bounce back. I'm looking something like, I'll say 51-20.
You heard it from the man himself, John Tabor. Louisiana Tech, South Alabama, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Should be a fun night inside Joe Ie Stadium. We'll be back, Beck and I, next week, 6 p.m., Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Thanks for listening.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
NFL countdown this season. Apparently, Rex Ryan didn't get the memo.
As the new host of Sunday NFL Countdown, Rex, I'd like to welcome you,
no,
Sam.
No, you know I'm the host, right? They didn't tell you? Yeah, I'm the host.
Are you on every show?
I mean, as of now, yes, but the way this is going, probably not.
Sunday NFL Countdown, presented by Snickers. Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Football Sunday on ESPN Radio. Carolina's coming off a tough loss at home, but won't get any love as they head to New England to take on Tom Brady at Foxborough. The Panthers and Pats, Sunday, noon Eastern, on ESPN Radio.
In the college football playoff era, we've seen a third-string QB lead the Buckeyes to a title. The Tide become kings of college football, and the Tigers exact sweet revenge. But the real story is the full journey that takes 15 weeks to unfold. The beauty that every game counts in the quest to the top. So in year 4, Which four teams will emerge to contend? The College Football Playoff, New Year's Day on ESPN.
Football Sunday on ESPN Radio.
As hard as it is to take the positive, this is a step in the right direction.
The Giants are desperately seeking their first win and face a Tampa Bay offense that struggled mightily last week as the Bucs settle in for their third of 16 straight games. How big is this one? Since 1990, teams that started 2-1